What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Chasing It for the 33rd Team. Trey Wingo here with Chase Daniel. And Chase, we've sort of been waiting for this ever since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in overtime against the 49ers because we're looking for something, a football fix, right? We had a little free agency and trades and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we're here. It is draft week. And before I get into my sort of dissertation on what the draft is or isn't, explain to me your thoughts on the draft from how they evolved from being an undrafted player to being someone watching the draft as a player in the NFL, seeing who might take one of your jobs, and now being someone who analyzes the draft.
Yeah, look, it's sort of full circle, right? Because I hated the freaking draft forever, mainly because I wasn't drafted. You stole my thunder. I mean, a lot of people knew that I was undrafted, but like was able to make it 14 years in the league. But the first couple years was like, man, it was like pulling teeth, just trying to get out onto the field, get noticed, like playing preseason games. Didn't even step into my real, like a real regular season game until like year four. So it took me a while to like get my footing. And then it ended up being really good toward the middle end of my career. But I just remember that draft night, and look, I'm 6 foot and I played in a spread style offense and I put up really good numbers at the University of Missouri. And my guy, my agent, Jeff Nally, shout out Jeff Nally, he's with CAA now. He used to be the old Select Sports Group, like Van McElroy. And he was just like, I remember.
Former
like
Baylor Bear, by the way. Like, Van McElroy, former Baylor Bear.
There you go. Van McElroy, absolutely. And I remember that a couple days before draft day, he called me and I was like, oh, well, look, he's got some good news. He's like, look, dude, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. And I'm still with that agent today. So because of him being honest with me, like pre-draft, he said, hey, look, you're probably not going to be drafted. I said, wait, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. Like, they just don't think you're tall enough. They don't think you have a strong enough arm. I said, well, what about like back-to-back Heisman Trophy finalists? Like, what about getting my team to number one in the nation? What about throwing for 4,000 yards in back-to-back seasons and over seven? He's like, that's just the way it goes. And so it like sort of hurt me a little bit. And then I only had two offers, Trey. I don't think I've ever told this story. I only had two offers, formerly the Washington Redskins, Commanders, and the Dallas Cowboys. And we did draft night, really draft weekend, because I didn't get drafted, at my parents' house in Southlake, Texas. And so we were right down the road from the Dallas Cowboys. And you probably don't remember, but if you do, that's awesome because you were covering it forever. The Cowboys in the 2009 draft, they picked a quarterback in the third round by the name of Stephen McGee.
And absolutely.
I said to myself, I was like, man, like, I don't know if this is worth it. Like, I love Dallas. Like, I grew up a Cowboys fan. We used to go and watch Jay Novacek, Troy Aikman, Alvin Harper, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, all those guys. And it was just right down the road. But I ended up picking one of their rivals, and I picked the Washington team. And Jim Zorn was the head coach. And I remember talking to him. He was like, look, we got three guys. It was Jason Campbell, Todd Collins, who is a G. Like, I played with Todd Collins. Like, that's how old I am. And then Colt Brennan, rest in peace. And he was like, look, you're going to get a chance to compete. And I came in and was able to, like, you know, play well enough. I think I threw four touchdown passes in preseason that year. And, you know, got a chance to go on, got cut when they wanted to be on practice squad, went down to New Orleans, won a Super Bowl my rookie year, compete for the backup job in 2010, my second year, and got it and never looked back and played until 2022. So I say all this because my draft story, it's not a draft story. Like, I'm undrafted. And so it's a draft story
because you went through that entire process. And we'll get to
the process. Yeah. And that's what I want like people to understand when they're watching this. It's like there's a ton of guys that will make football teams as undrafted guys. Like it isn't just the top seven rounds of guys. And so there's a good bit, and you've seen it here lately, right, Trey? Like with these guys that are making these teams and they're getting outrageous guaranteed money for an undrafted signing. I mean, $150,000, $200,000. Trey, you know how much I got from the Washington? I got $1,000 signing bonus. $1,000. And boy, did I think I was rich. Like, it was crazy. But I say all that, like just, and we got a lot of guys that watch it. Like, don't worry about where you're drafted. Tom Brady, Mr. Relevant, Brock Purdy. Like, it don't matter. Like, just really keep, like, your eye on the prize. And then when I go to now, like, we were texting before the show, and I'm like, now I'm covering it. Now I sort of love it. This is my first full year covering it. I'll be on NFL Network coverage on Thursday and Friday this week. Prime time, and it's just like getting to know all these guys and getting to know like where it's going to go. Let's be honest, like no one has any idea like what's going to happen. So it's like completely morphed into like what you thought when you were doing the draft for all those years at ESPN, right?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, and to your point about the players that aren't drafted, I want to wrap up the show with a little more of that. So we'll get to that at the end. But I think people need to understand what the draft is, and more importantly, what it isn't. The draft is not a science. The draft is not some sort of chemical formula. It's not a process by which you can say A plus B equals C or 2 plus 2 equals 4. The draft is theater. The draft is a reality television show.
Yeah.
The draft is an educated guess at best. And just give you a couple examples of that before we get into the mock of your first 13 picks, which I'm going to find very interesting. A, why you stopped at 13. We'll get to that in a minute. But understand that nobody is good at drafting. Just some people are less bad than other people. Okay? Like Brett Veach, GM for the Chiefs, is less bad at drafting than most people are.
Less bad.
Howie Roseman, you know, gets a lot of praise for his drafts. But, you know, and everyone loved the two defensive linemen he's gotten in back-to-back years out of the University of Georgia in the first round. But have they been that dominant? Maybe, maybe not. So it's all a crapshoot. Understand that going in. Nobody knows anything. All right, just give you a couple examples. We had five quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 2021 draft. Oh. 3 years later, only one of them is on the team drafted him. Trevor Lawrence. And by the way, his backup is now Mac Jones. Okay? So four other teams couldn't have been more wrong. Okay? And there was a scouting report for Luke Kuechly when he came out of Boston College. And one scouting report said, and my, the 33rd team's X/Twitter account put that up there. Great job by whoever runs that. I don't know. Some really smart young kid runs the X account for 33rd team. But that kid's going places.
Can't believe you're saying X, by the way.
I'm sorry, Twitter. Yeah, F that. That kid's going places because he pulled that. The scouting report on Luke Kuechly was his tape is not top 15 worthy. I will now like to read for you, Chase, the list of players in the history of the NFL that have won Defensive Rookie of the Year and follow that up with Defensive Player of the Year. Lawrence Taylor and Luke Kuechly. End of list. That's the end of the list. Nobody else has done it. So when I say to you, nobody knows anything, nobody knows anything. It's all a guess. I can pull you the tape from the 2014 draft when John Gruden wanted 17 teams to draft Johnny Manziel. All right? Finally, he went to Cleveland, and we all know how that worked out. Yep. He admitted in his own Netflix documentary he never once opened his iPad with his playbook. Okay? So nobody knows anything. So just understand that going in. It is theater. It is drama. It gives us the hit of football that we need. I've used this before, and if you don't like drug references, it's kind of a joke, but it's also true, so bear with me. The draft is like a late-night party in the 80s in Miami, okay? It's 3 o'clock and everyone's trying to go home, so some guy is scrounging around on the sofa or the couch or the carpet looking for that one last little bump of Coke to hold him over until the next party. And that's sort of where we are, okay? Because after this, it's OTAs and, you know, mini. It doesn't really happen until training camp. So this is it until July. The end of July early. So this is what we need. It's the hit we crave right now, baby. And we're going to take it because it's going to ride us as long as we can.
We don't even need another part of the show. You just did the whole show.
Good night,
that's
everybody.
All we need.
We'll see
that's
ya.
All we need, what you just said. That is so funny.
So understand what it is, okay? And the NFL is great at capturing our attention. So with all that being said, and it's going to be a quarterback-heavy draft, we could maybe have six QBs go in the first round. Go back to the 2021 draft to understand the significance of that and what it really means, which means not a lot. Yeah. But we're going to go through it. So let's start with your mock draft of the first 13 picks. Chicago Bears, yeah. It's going to be Caleb Williams, right?
Yeah, Caleb Williams, for sure. Okay. Like this has been known for quite a long time and cemented, in my opinion, when the Chicago Bears, on all their pre-draft visits, they decided to bring in a one quarterback, unlike the next team we'll get to, who brought in everyone and they went to Topgolf. Yeah. But yeah, dude, like Caleb, I mean, on this show, let me just make it very clear. All the episodes we've been doing, we've talked about Justin Fields a lot. Like, I would have loved to see, them stick with Justin Fields
with you,
trade back from the one. But they're not. Yeah. They're not doing that. Okay, Justin's in Pittsburgh, which I think has a chance to actually compete with Russell Wilson for the starting job.
Completely agree.
But I love the idea that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are all in on Caleb Williams. Like, they have built a team around him now that you don't have to be – Caleb Williams, for me, the issue I have – everyone's like, Chase, you're so positive on these quarterbacks. Give me some negative stuff. Okay, well, the negative stuff, the hero ball mentality that he has and that he had really last year at USC. If you go back and look at his tape in 2022, it's pretty good tape. Because he was surrounded by a much better team. Jordan Addison was there, who's now in the Minnesota Vikings, who's a baller. He had guys. He got into a little bit of a bored mindset this year. What does that mean? I think that he would drop back, and if one wasn't open, he's like, let me go see what kind of cool stuff I can do. Let me run around. Let me go left. Let me go right. And it was highlight reel. After highlight reel, after highlight reel, he only threw 5 interceptions last year, so he protected the football. 3 of them came against Notre Dame, which was his worst game he's ever played as a pro. A big loss on the road.
I love the fact that you said a fumbling issue. I love the fact that you said as a pro.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that, there's going to be some issues, and I don't think it's necessarily on the field stuff. Because on the field, the arm and pocket awareness – are next level. You're talking and I told you this, and I'm gonna say it again, he's a better prospect now than when Patrick Mahomes first came out and was getting recruited from Texas Tech. If Patrick was as good of a prospect as Caleb Williams is now, he would have went 1 overall.
I'm not saying
he's gonna be the ceiling. Yes, time please out. Do.
Say one thing.
Come on.
I hate that we're putting this on this kid. Okay. Yeah.
He's read sort of asked for it.
Well,
he's living in LA in a $5 million top shelf mansion.
No. What I'm saying is, and you very may well be right, and I read something else in Sports Illustrated where one AFC executive was quoted as saying he's a more athletic Patrick Mahomes. Can we just not put that on this kid? What you? I get what you're saying, but when people hear that, they're not going to hear the context in which you said it. They're not going to hear the context in which that executive made that comparison. All they're going to hear is, holy shit, this guy's better than Patrick Mahomes. And that is a pox that this kid does not deserve. He does not deserve
that. That's why I didn't say better than him. I just said pure prospect-wise.
I hate that for this kid.
Yeah.
I just want Caleb Williams to be Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens. But when I hear so many, it is Patrick, I'm like, just calm the fuck down. Okay, everybody. This kid, let this kid have a fucking chance, man. Give him a chance before we do that to him.
And I do think that's what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have done. They've given him a chance. DJ Moore, go out and get Keenan Allen.
I agree.
Retooled offensive line. They're probably going to draft another receiver higher than most think in this draft as well, which we'll get down to. But I do think that all the pieces are in place. And we talked about, I'm not going to hit it because this show isn't about RG3, but he was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday, and he reiterated his point that he thinks that, Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning. I personally think that Caleb Williams is going into the best position possible right now for a rookie quarterback other than the Minnesota Vikings. With everything he's surrounded with, they have a top 7 defense the last 10 games of the year. He doesn't have to play hero ball. That's where Shane Waldron and this coaching staff have to be great at. They have to get the absolute best out of them while understanding that a throwaway or an incompletion is not bad.
Yeah, and listen, you're right. This show is not about RG3, thankfully, but I do have to agree with you. If Justin Fields was walking into the position that Caleb Williams was in, Justin Fields would not be a Pittsburgh Steeler right now. Yeah, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen. A defense, by the way, for Fields' first 2 years, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. And now, as you said, they were a top 10 defense last year, top 7 of the last few games of the regular season. So the idea that Caleb Williams is walking into a terrible situation makes no sense from what's known as a football perspective. So I don't want to hear any of that crap ever again. All right, so Caleb Williams going number one. Now, you, in your mock of the top 13, we've allowed trades. So the Washington Commanders have the second overall pick. Are they sticking with it? Are they making a trade?
They're sticking with it, no doubt. It's the best position to be in, and what better or who better to take than Jaden Daniels? I just really, really think this is an excellent situation for the Washington Commanders to be able to have a top-flight guy like Jaden Daniels. And during my quarterback breakdowns on YouTube, during my stuff on Twitter, and us talking on the show, like, I've raised the bar of, like, Caleb Williams is going to go one because I think the Bears love him. Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, is not far below him. Really, just pure football-wise, I don't think I've seen in the short time I've been doing this, but also, like, I pay attention while I was still playing in college and stuff. I don't know if I've seen a better pure progression passer coming out and being able to, like, step on a stage, because this is what, like, this is what Cliff Kingsbury does. It's pure progression. It's sweep the board left to right. Is one open? No. Go to two, go to three, go to four. I've seen, again, some of the top opponents that Jaden Daniels has played, I have seen, like, him get through progressions at a clip that is just not normal, that some NFL guys, most NFL guys, can't do it. He understands route concepts. He understands when to get off of one, when to get to two. And I just think he's, like, obviously everyone knows how gifted as a runner he is, right? But I think the pocket passing, the presence that he has is like next level. Like, he's a perfect blend of that. And you look what Cliff Kingsbury was able to get out of Kyler Murray in the short time that Kyler Murray was healthy. I think Jaden Daniels is a better runner. I think Jaden Daniels can be and will be better than Kyler Murray. I just really like him. Like unique combo of, like, pocket passer and runner. The only issue I have with him, and it's he's frail, man. He is really, really small. He's thin. And so when he's running the football in college, he was a human pinball machine. He would get thrown around left. You cannot do that at this next level. And as you know, the best ability is availability for the quarterback position. Yeah. No more screams this than you got to get down. Jaden Daniels, got to protect yourself better.
Well, two things about Jaden Daniels. I agree with you. He is slight, but that you can work on that. All right, you can work on that. He can bulk up a little bit, and it's not going to affect him as much because, you know, they don't want him running around as much. And my friend Herm Edwards has a great line about that. Know when the journey is over. And Jaden needs to understand when the journey is over. And speaking of Herm, people may have forgotten that Jaden started with Herm when Herm was the head coach at Arizona State. And he had really, really good productive years at Arizona State. And Arizona State decided they weren't really going to participate in NIL. And Herm said, go, fly, be free. So that's how he ended up at LSU. Wow. And I was with Herm over the weekend, my man, my road dog. And I said, what do you think about Jaden? He said, he's Randall Cunningham. He said he has the potential to be the next Randall Cunningham. And he said he's a little undersized, but I think he can put on some weight. And you know, you're talking about pinball. I mean, no one was more of a pinball than Randall during his first few years in the NFL, bouncing off Carl Banks and throwing touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. So, I think that's an interesting look, and we'll see what happens with Jaden Daniels. All right, so number three is the New England Patriots. Clearly, they need a quarterback because Bailey Zappe was in and out of that starting job, and they traded away Mac Jones. Do you see the New England Patriots staying at three and taking a quarterback, or do they make a trade?
The Minnesota Vikings are going to be picking number three. They are trading with the New England Patriots. I think Elliott Wolf and the Patriots are open for business. Look, I know they need a quarterback. They absolutely do. But there's a reason you go out and you get Jacoby Brissett. Just in case something were to happen, he's not the long-term answer. The Patriots will still get a quarterback in this draft. But I think the Vikings love Drake May too much to pass him up and to let him get down. And look, Kevin O'Connell and obviously McCown, who coached him, who's the quarterback coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Every executive, every scout, every insider I've known to date has said, if the Vikings can get to three, if the Commanders don't pick Drake May, which I don't think they will, I think they're going to pick Jaden Daniels, like we just said, for sure the Minnesota Vikings will leverage their entire franchise on getting up and drafting Drake May.
Whoa. When you say leverage their entire franchise, what
I think
saying?
They'll be willing to give multiple first-round picks to move up.
For Drake
May?
And
they're going to have to, yes. I absolutely... I think that they love him. However, in my latest quarterback rankings, I've only done it once, and I'm only doing one mock draft. I had Drake May as five.
Okay.
Like, that's... So, let me just explain.
So, who did you... Obviously, we just talked about Caleb and Jaden Daniels, so there's two other players that we would have had in front of him. J.J. McCarthy?
J.J. McCarthy is three. Yeah.
And who
was
your
other? Michael Penix is four.
Really? Now, Penix is your wild card, obviously, because a lot of people don't have that high of a feeling on him, so we'll get that in a minute. But to your point, Josh McCown was his high school football coach. There's a lot of connections, a lot of things that make sense there, right?
A lot of connections. And for me, I think the film of Drake May is good. You got to go back to 2022 for it to be better than good. For me, Drake is he's inexperienced. And I do think that if they're going to go up this high and get him, he's probably going to have to play right away. But you surround him with two of the better receivers in the NFL, and you surround him with the play caller and the acumen of Kevin O'Connell and put him in a situation. Now, they might say, hey, we're going to let Sam Darnold start the year so you're not pressured to play right away. But in my opinion, the reason I have him at five, I think he needs to sit a year. I think he needs to be maybe two. And learn. And I think he needs to be on the Jordan Love plan. Look, I love the guy. He's a strong arm guy. He's got a gunslinger mentality, which I think can be both good or bad. But if you watch the film, like I base my stuff on the film, yes, he can make every throw. Yes, he's strong, country boy, like reminds me of sort of Philip Rivers. He's the closest in person of any one of these guys that looks like a Justin Herbert, Philip Rivers type. Like the dude is big.
He's thick.
He's thick. And I don't know how he does on the mental side of things. I've heard the interviews are well. But I just think based on purely his film, like he sees the field well, but getting through progressions is a struggle for him. I didn't see a lot of NFL style concepts in that UNC offense like I have maybe in Jaden Daniels' offense or these others like J.J. McCarthy who ran a pro style offense.
Yeah.
So I think like I know that the Vikings love him. Do the Vikings give up enough to move ahead of the New England Patriots? I think they do. I think they're going to. I think they've fallen in love with him, and I think he's going to be the third pick in the draft.
All right. Okay. So we'll see what happens there. You have Minnesota jumping up ahead of Arizona and any other team there to take Drake May. All right. Maybe that's the reason why. With what Minnesota might do is the Arizona Cardinals have basically come out and said we're open for business. We're open for business, which means somebody come make us an offer because they don't want to be at four. Because that when someone says that, when the GM of the Cardinals says that, that's telling you that they don't believe a player that they need on their team right now is worthy of the fourth overall pick. Just so people understand the code, okay? When someone says we're open for business, that means based on what they believe their team needs are, there's not a player that they want at four. Okay, that means there's not a player they don't want. That there's not a player they want at four. So, do the Cardinals stay, or does someone make a trade with Arizona?
Giants are going up to number four to pick J.J. McCarthy,
despite the fact that so many people in New York are saying, "Don't do it, don't do it."
They are. You look at Brian Daboll's offense, and you look at what he does really well, and it's get guys open at the next level. I think J.J. McCarthy is raw. I think that he doesn't have to play right away because you got Daniel Jones. You don't know what's happening with that. Okay, that whole situation they're
saying
publicly.
Which is why
you're drafting
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but I do think, look, and honestly, like J.J. McCarthy, for me, he was my number three, obviously. I wasn't a big J.J. McCarthy fan when I started watching. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I switched my tune a little bit on him because I do love the physical traits he brings. Probably had the best pro day out of any of these guys. And I just think that the inexperience factor, if you learn from a guy like that, if you learn from the offensive coordinator who had been with the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, like, I do think that, you know, our guy JJ can be a good player. I don't know if you're going to play right away, but I do see four quarterbacks going in the first four picks. I don't know if it's ever been done before. You're the draft guy, but I didn't do my research on that, but I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, I think in 2018 we had Baker Mayfield 1, Saquon Barkley 2.
Yeah, so not four in a row.
Well, not four in a row. I said four in the top.
First four picks of the draft.
Yeah, no, that's never happened.
I got quarterbacks going. There you go. Yeah, okay. It's crazy.
So we'll see what happens there. And by the way, you know, we're talking about how we're so starved for football attention. You know, Daniel Jones was asked a question at a recent OTA or minicamp if he thinks he's the best option of quarterback, and he said yes, and people like put that out there as if that's news. Like, what is he supposed to say? No, I suck, man.
No,
I should be the fifth option. Like, everyone just needs to calm down. We want so much football right now. Oh, Daniel Jones says he's the best option for the Giants at quarterback. Break into programming. What the hell else is he supposed to say? I suck, man. I'm terrible at this. That would have been news. The fact that he said a player thought he was the best option is not news. That's just somebody saying, I think I'm good. Okay, moving on. Your old team, the Chargers, at 5. Do they stay or do they make a pick?
I think they stay, and I think the biggest issue, you know, why they stay is because they need a receiver, Trey.
They need someone.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Herbie needs some help.
Let's go. Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, yeah. To the Chargers. He's the best receiver, I think, in the draft. Yeah. Malik Nabers, Rome are making their way up, but I do like Marvin Harrison Jr. He is an easy way. Look, I understand what they're trying to do there. They're trying to ground and pound. I love Marvin Harrison, what he does. He's generational talent. He's a guy you can plug into that offense and spend the next decade with Justin Herbert being your guy. You know you're going to get your touches. I love Josh Palmer. I love like Q from last year from TCU, the receiver. But they don't have
him. He was okay. I mean, Q was
not
great.
Yeah, but I do think he had 413 yards. Not great, but I do think there's a reason they picked him. I know it was an old regime. I do think they find a way for him. But like Marvin Harrison Jr. might have 100 catches if he goes to the Chargers at number 5. I think they stick and pick.
It is kind of surprising, right? Because you take the quarterbacks out of the equation and you could just best overall talent. You know, it's hard to say that Marvin Harrison is one of the top three juniors and one of the top three players in the draft. So
players.
To get him at 5,
totally
players. So to get him at 5 would be huge. Okay, obviously 6 is the Giants. They've traded. Now, does Arizona stay at 6 or do they move back in your scenario?
I think Arizona stays at 6, and they need a receiver. I like Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, to me, is someone who I would have jockeyed for even right at Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. The way he is able to handle every position on the field, inside slot receiver, outside slot receiver, they need a guy. They've gotten Kyler Murray as like they've said, hey, you're our guy. You got to surround yourself with them. Look, I know they need tackle. I know they need other help. I love Malik Nabers. When you turn on just pure film and you talk about speed and you talk about 4.34 speed, like the yak is otherworldly. You see him throwing receiver screens, all that stuff. Malik Nabers to Arizona makes a lot of sense for me.
And for people that would say, well, wait a minute. If you can, why are you moving back 2 spots to get a receiver you could probably get at 4? That's the Arizona Cardinals understanding the draft. The draft is not just about players. It's about the value of the pick. Okay.
Yeah, they're gonna get and if you're, back.
People do not understand this concept. A lot of people, it's not about what players can you get. It's how much value can you attack to the slot? That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So if yes, you could take Malik Nabers at 4 and get the player you want, but the odds are because of what we've talked about and how quarterback needy so many teams are and how quarterbacks are overdrafted every year. If you can drop back 2 picks and pick up capital and still get the player that you want in Malik Nabers, that's a brilliant use of the draft. So people need to understand it's not just about drafting a player. It's about maximizing the value of the draft position that you have.
Good point.
And I think that's the equation that a lot of people don't think about when they watch the draft. Like, why would you go back just 2 slots to get out and get a 4? Because if I can get extra picks and still get the player I want at 6 instead of 4, then I've done my job and won as a general manager. And that's the thing that people don't understand. All right, 7, Tennessee Titans. Stay, stick.
Titans are staying, and they're taking Joe Alt. He's the best tackle in the draft, without a doubt. Yeah. Massive human being, 6'8", 315. He's got an NFL pedigree. His dad, John Alt, was a Pro Bowl NFL tackle. And his brother, Mark, was an NHL player. I'm like, this dude's destined for greatness. He's a guy you can put at the left tackle position, protect your prized investment in Will Levis, because I really think they like him. I think Will is in for a big year. I'm buying the Will Levis hype. You got to protect your young guy. And look, Joe Alt, in my opinion, Notre Dame, he's the best tackle in the draft. He's strong. He's got really long arms. He's a super disciplined tackle who rarely makes mistakes. It's not a sexy pick for Tennessee, but they'll have Joe Alt at left tackle for the next 15 years.
Yeah, I think Will has established himself as a quarterback, and obviously it's a new regime with Rand Carthon there and a new head coach. So they are clearly, I think, going to stick with Will and try and build around him. All right, eight, the Atlanta Falcons. They made the big move this offseason to get Kirk Cousins. Their offense, I think, is really interesting. What are they going to do now with Raheem Morris as a first-year head coach there?
Well, I love that you said their offense is really interesting, because it is. The Falcons have gone in the last three drafts, all top 10 picks, tight end, receiver, running back.
Drake London.
That's changing. Yeah. They are picking Dallas Turner and Bijan Robinson, by the way, which are all three pillars of their offense. But I love Dallas Turner from Alabama, freak athlete. Is more of a do-it-all guy, can rush the passer, can go down to the 5-tech, can play a 9-tech, can play third down rush. He's decent in flat coverage. He makes sense for that 3-4 scheme that Raheem Morris is. He can go cover the flat. I don't know if he's going to match up in the slot one-on-one with like a Malik Nabers if they ever play, but he does a really good job. Obviously, the Alabama pedigree. He doesn't anchor well against stronger O-linemen, but what guy does nowadays that's rushing the passer? Their job is one thing and one thing only: disrupt the passer, get to the quarterback, and cause strip sack, force fumbles, and this is what this guy can do.
All right, next overall pick is ninth, the Bears. A lot of people thought they might take a wide receiver at nine, but the trade to Keenan Allen, did that change things for you, or do the Bears stay there, or do they move back?
The Bears are staying there. This was hard for me because I know the Colts really need a receiver. They're at 16 or 17, wherever they're picking. They're a little further down. They had to give up too much ammo. But I like Rome from Washington. Rome is a guy that when you go and you watch his film, like the most, like the strongest hands of the class, contested catch rate is the highest. He led the FBS in receiving yards last year. He's a 50-50 ball winner. He's not like game-breaking speed fast. You have that on DJ Moore. But if you can go and you can tell me your starting receiver lineup for your first game as a quarterback, Caleb Williams, is DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome, Cole Kmet, like I'm loving it. Like top four or five like skill player positions
that's great.
In the NFL.
Yeah, and again, if Justin Fields had walked into that situation, he's still a Chicago Bear. Like, he's still a Chicago Bear.
Totally.
I mean, it's that simple. Then we have the New York Jets rounding out the top 10. Or do you have them trading?
They're staying. They're staying.
By the way, this is great for the Jets. Yeah. You know why? Because it'll give them something to talk about besides things Aaron Rodgers says in a microphone, which has been really cringeworthy yet again this offseason. So what do the Jets do? Because let's be honest, no matter who they pick at 10, their entire season depends on Aaron Rodgers coming back from that Achilles heel and being remotely close to what Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay.
Perfect setup for me, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but Olumuwe Fashanu. Fashionista. Yeah, the dude is, I should probably learn how to say that because I'm going to have to talk about it on NFL Network. I will. Fashanu is his last name. I know that's how you say it. Exactly what you just said. They got to protect Aaron Rodgers. You're spending all this other time. I think he's the second best player in the draft, offensive tackle-wise. I do think his ceiling may be higher than Joe Alt. He's only played like 20 games. Okay, he played 8 in 2022. He was second team all Big Ten Conference. He ended up being first team All-American in 2023, so you can see the growth that he's played with. He's a massive human being. Really like that guy right there for the Jets to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so then we have the Minnesota Vikings scheduled to be at 11. They have moved back. That trade was with New England, right? If I'm not mistaken, following your
our producer here. Just said, Olufushanu. Olufushanu.
God bless
That's
you.
That's how you say it.
Okay, so now the Minnesota Vikings would have been at 11, but they made the trade with New England, right, to move up to 3. So the Patriots, are they sticking there or do they move back?
They need a receiver. Okay.
They need everything. Let's be clear. They on the offensive side of the ball, they need everything. I mean, they may have a decent O-line and a decent situation at running back. They need a quarterback. They need depth at wide receiver. They need over the last couple of years of the Bill Belichick regime, yeah. there wasn't one player on the offensive side of the ball that scared you from New England. There's not one player on that side was like, I mean, they had some, like when Jacoby Myers there, he was a nice complimentary player. But there's not one guy on that offense where an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator of another team would go, oh my God, we got to stop that guy. Doesn't exist. Do they get someone like that in this position?
That's changing. They're going to be scared of a guy named Brock Bowers. I love this pick there. Like a lot of people forget about him. They don't talk about him a lot. Like I know they want a receiver. The top three receivers are gone. I think this dude is the next Travis Kelce incarnated. Like I really think this dude does it all. He's a rare blend of speed, agility, acceleration, like body control, the way he gets up, his frame can handle even more. I don't know if he's as shifty as a Travis Kelce. I think he's a decent blocker, like George Kittle-esque, right? Like a little bit of both, like top end speed. And I love him. Like got Pro Bowl upside, like really, really Pro Bowl upside. If they can get a quarterback there, Brock Bowers is a top 10 pick at number 10 for the New England Patriots.
Well, but the key is, can they get a quarterback? But you're right. Brock Bowers is one of those guys, like you saw him play his freshman year, and if he was eligible, he would have been drafted after his freshman year. Like that's how physically developed he was at an early age. Same way when, you know, you saw Trevor Lawrence play as a freshman at Clemson, you're like, that kid could get drafted this year. If he was eligible, he would have been drafted after his freshman year at Clemson University. No question about it. Okay, now we have the Denver Broncos, who have Jared Stidham and now Zach Wilson at the quarterback position.
Zach Wilson, come on over.
Yeah. So what are they going to do with Sean Payton there?
Look, you have four quarterbacks going in the top four, okay? And I know, talking to some team sources, like they love those four quarterbacks. They also like Bo Nix. It's too expensive to pick Bo Nix right here because if he doesn't work out, you've wasted, like, your pick.
It's the value. To what you're saying, this is another example of the value of the pick. So unless you are convinced that Bo Nix is going to be better than Caleb Williams, you do not take Bo Nix at 12.
Yep, and I like Leatu Latu from UCLA.
He's love that.
Probably the best pure pass rusher of all the group. The most important thing, medically, his neck. He got his neck really hurt in Washington. It's all good. It's cleared. Like the dude is a beast. Like his film is really good. Like you see him, and I watched the Caleb Williams game and when against UCLA, and I was actually watching the film on Caleb Williams, not on Leatu. And when I was going through it, I'm like, who is this guy that keeps getting through the offensive line and getting Caleb off a spot? It was Leatu Latu. And it was like, the dude is an absolute beast. I think he's going to be, Denver got rid of a lot of people. I think that he's going to be a day one starter. He's going to affect the passer. He's actually pretty good against the run, really good motor, seems to never get tired. He anchors well, like I was saying, against the run. I love this pick for Denver right there. And I think Denver slides back up into the first round, possibly early second round, gets a quarterback. Maybe Bo Nix if he's around. Who knows?
And the other thing about Denver, and it sounds crazy, they gave up 70 early in the season to the Vikings, but to the Dolphins. But that defense really turned the corner in the second half of the season. And they lost some key players, including Justin Simmons. And when you're in a league, or division rather, where you have to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year, you better have tons of pass rushers. You better have tons of pass rushers. So that's why that pick makes a lot of sense. Your mock ends with the Raiders at 13. First of all, can we explain to everybody listening why you are stopping at 13?
Well, it's been 40 minutes in and we've only got through 12. So I like to explain my picks. But honestly, like, let's be real. Like, this is a fun exercise. No one knows what's going to happen. Correct. And I can't just go make stuff up. Like, I feel really good about not making stuff up these first 13 prospects. After that, I got no clue. I got no clue. So that's why we stop it at 13. Yeah.
All right, so is it the Raiders or do they trade?
The Raiders are picking, baby. And the Raiders are picking Michael Penix Jr. I love this pick for him. Look, love Gardner Minshew. Love Aiden O'Connell.
But he's about to be a little less boy again, what you're saying.
He's about to be
a little less boy again, is what you're saying.
I didn't say it. You said it. You said it. Look,
and
look,
we love Gardner. We love Gardner. But yeah, if this happens, that's Gardner. What's going to happen.
Totally. Tom Telesco gets his guy in his first draft in the GM of the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think that everything I've heard about Michael Penix, everything, like, he hasn't been hurt in 2 years. His injuries were at Indiana. I get it. Like, it's a big deal. He like, when you watch this guy on film, the more I watch him on film, the more I absolutely love him. That's why he snuck into the top four of my quarterback rankings. I think he's four. The Texas game. And I know, oh, geez, you talk about the Texas game cemented this pick.
Yeah.
Because the way he was able to throw the ball, like, you talk about, like, in college, a lot of stuff is wide open. Texas covered stuff pretty well. The way he's able to fit into tight windows, just his overall, like, stature. Like,
yeah, but earthquake in San Diego? What's going on there? Just knock someone over?
It was this.
Dude, go with earthquake.
Second cheat sheet.
Go with earthquake.
Earthquake! He's got an 81-inch wingspan.
Yeah.
Okay, he's 6'2", 6'3". There's like 6'7" NBA guys don't have that.
Correct.
He's got 10.5-inch hands. Okay, we love hand size this time of year.
Oh, it's hand size season.
Top 10 all time.
Yeah.
At the combine. Top 10 all time. Like, the dude is great, exceptional, like, probably the best deep ball thrower. I love, and I've heard that the Raiders love Michael Penix Jr. If he's there, which he should be, they're going to pick him.
All right, so you have a bunch of quarterbacks going in the top 13 picks. Let's talk about some other things that are going to be happening this year. The Rams have a first-round pick for the first time since 2016 when they took Jared Goff.
F them picks, right? That's what they say.
Les Snead and company, the GM, finally going to feel what a first-round tastes like. But here's the question, what I find interesting. Because the Rams right now are at 19. Their division rivals in the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks, sit at 16. Both of these teams have a quarterback for the moment in Geno Smith and obviously Matthew Stafford, who has had a much better career than Geno Smith. But, you know, he's on the back end of his career. So do you foresee a scenario in which maybe Seattle and the Rams are trying to sort of figure each other out and maybe one jump ahead of the other to try and get a quarterback for the future? Much in the same way, people forget, in last year's draft, the Jets thought Broderick Jones was just coming to them in that draft pick, and then the Patriots, inside that division, traded with the Pittsburgh Steelers to make sure Broderick Jones didn't come into that division, and the Patriots would have to deal with Broderick Jones playing for the Jets, and Pittsburgh jumped ahead of the Jets and got him, and that just destroyed the Jets' war room.
Yeah.
Do you envision a scenario like that playing out with these two teams in the same division maybe jockeying for one to get ahead of the other to maybe get a quarterback that they can develop down the road?
There's no doubt. I absolutely think so. And I think it all starts with the Rams, right? Picking 19, like you were saying, behind the Seahawks. The Rams are absolutely in the hunt for another quarterback. The question is, who is that quarterback? If you know, you have five go in the top 13 like I do, which is very possible. Like, you could easily have six go in the first round. So are you willing – it's Rams, Seahawks, even Broncos. I know they're not in the division, but, like, is Bo Nix worth that to you? Because I know if I'm a quarterback of all these places other than Minnesota, like, I want to go to Sean McVay. And I want to go to the Rams because what they're building there, what his mind is like from an offensive perspective is, like, amazing for a quarterback. Now, you got to know your ball. You got to be smart. But then you took at the Seahawks, like, forever before I felt like the Raiders really were going to get – Michael Penix Jr., which I think they love him. The Seahawks love him too. Old OC, right? Goes to the Seahawks. His old offensive coordinator, I think it's Ryan Grubb or whatever his name is. Like, he's at Seattle now. So I do think that there's going to be a lot of jockeying. I think there's going to be two teams like the Rams and the Seahawks, even the Broncos in the first round that could all, hey, do we have enough ammo to get up there? I don't know if the Rams do, but I could for sure see them jockeying over quarterback without a doubt.
The other interesting scenario is the Dallas Cowboys because Jerry Jones had said they were all in this offseason and they were all in on losing players. They don't have a running back. They saw a lot of other players go. They lost not only their defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn, who's now the head coach of the Commanders, but half their defensive starters, it seems like.
Yeah,
what are the Cowboys going to do? What are the Cowboys going to do in this draft?
They got to draft offensive line. I mean, they really do. You lose your stud left tackle forever, and also here's another team, Trey. Like, look, they need running back. They need offensive line. They need everything. They need, like, you know, DB. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised in the second or third round if there's a quarterback that they like. Like, we're not talking about that enough because Dak Prescott is under contract for one more year. They didn't renegotiate and restructure his contract.
Massive cap hit this year. Massive cap hit.
Like, $60 million. So, like, that's not being talked about enough. Like, they, too, could be in the running for a quarterback. But more importantly, I think offensive line for them makes a lot of sense. They've you know, the history of the Dallas Cowboys, especially the last, like, decade, they've been really high on drafting offensive linemen in the first round, and they've had some of the best offensive linemen come through there really since Romo and Dax sort of took over. So it would not surprise me to see them go offensive line there.
And then there's a wild card over draft weekend, and, you know, sometimes you see a big name traded during the draft. We certainly saw that when Randy Moss was traded from the Raiders to the Patriots in the 2007 draft. Brandon Ayuk is still out there. He's very unhappy with the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are saying all the right things, but they're not doing anything about it. You know, he's unfollowed them on social media. Do we see a scenario in which Brandon Ayuk might get traded during the draft?
If you're John Lynch and you're Shanahan and you decide to trade one of the top 7-6 receivers in the entire NFL, you're crazy. Pay the guy. Why do you think Brock Purdy had such a good year? Like, not only Brock Purdy was doing, but, like, he, like, the dude, you got to keep the core together. Kittle, McCaffrey, Ayuk,
Debo,
like, all these guys. Like, I understand it gets expensive, you can't pay everyone. This dude has earned his money. So I think, without a doubt, his name is on the trading block. There's no doubt about it. How much are you willing to give me? You talk about value, what you did a draft pick. There's no different than this value here. If you're willing to give me a lot more, some draft pick capital, some stuff, we can save spending $28 million, $25 million a year on a guy, then we're going to do it.
Yeah. You know, the other thing which is really interesting is that I'm sure when they saw Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch saw the Devontae Smith contract, I'm sure that killed them. Because you look at the 100%. Money that Howie gave Devontae Smith and you look at the numbers between Brandon Ayuk and Devontae Smith over the last couple of years, Ayuk's been way more productive.
Receiver market's crazy.
So we'll see what happens there. Okay, before we end up this show, I just want to throw out a couple of things here. First of all, when I say no one knows what's going to happen, nobody knows what's going to happen. And I say this story all the time. Do you know how much money you could have made if you went into Vegas before the 2016 first round and said, listen, I just got a hunch. I got a sneaking feeling that the top overall offensive line prospect in this draft, Laremy Tunsil, I think someone's going to leak a video of him smoking weed in a gas mask before his draft is taken. Nobody expected that to happen, yet that's what happened right before he was drafted. And by the way, that video coming out cost that kid millions of dollars, and whoever did that to him should be in jail for that. It was horseshit. But you have to expect the craziest shit of all time during the draft. So that's the thing I would say. Buckle
reality
up.
TV.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. But the thing that you started when we began this as an undrafted player, the draft doesn't mean your journey is over to the NFL. It means it's delayed. Let's just go through the list of players that were not drafted. Kurt Warner was an undrafted player. Ends up being a two-time MVP, Super Bowl MVP, goes to the Hall of Fame. Tony Romo, undrafted, had a very successful career for the Dallas Cowboys. James Harrison was undrafted and cut 5 times. Eventually was a stalwart for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2008 Defensive Player of the Year. He's probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. We are littered with players, even smaller players. Danny Woodhead had a very productive career, even though he was undrafted, okay? And you could make an argument, Chase, that once you get past the middle of the sixth round, you don't want to be drafted. I mean, everybody wants the honor 100%. Of being drafted, but you can put yourself in a better position if you're not drafted, because now you can be a free agent. People are recruiting you the way they recruited you in college. So what I would say, and you can back me up on this, don't think the journey is over if your name isn't called. There are still plenty of opportunities for you to go out there and prove you belong on an Austin Eckler, one of your teammates, Austin frickin' Eckler.
It's insane. Yeah, the journey. I mean, you're exactly right. We hit it on top of show, but you're exactly right when you're thinking along the terms of, and I'm glad you brought it up. Like, I'd say even sixth and seventh round, right? Like, round one, they have 5-year contracts, obviously 5th-year option. The rest of the draft is 4, and undrafted free agents are 3. So you get to free agency quicker. Not only that, right? But also, Also, you can pick your team. You can have the leverage. And this is what agents are trying to do. Like, it's a real thing. And teams are in starting in the fifth round. Really, the fourth and fifth round, teams are already calling like priority free agents. Like, hey, I don't know if you're going to get drafted or not. And some teams are jockeying, well, this team wants my guy. You better draft him. You know, there's all sorts of jockeying in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. A lot of movement. But when the draft is over, like, that's really when a lot of these teams, especially a team that has four or five picks, they're going to sign 15 undrafted free agents, and three or four of them are going to make the team, especially with this kickoff rule, right? You bring it back full circle with this kickoff rule. There's going to be some interchangeable pieces on those undrafted guys that they're going to specifically look at their strategy on the new kickoff and kickoff return rules, whether it's linebackers, offensive linemen, whatever it is, speed guys. They're going to prioritize those guys in undrafted free agency along with quarterbacks and other things. That's something to keep an eye on as well.
Absolutely. So understand what the draft is. It's an educated guess. Some would say sometimes it's an uneducated guess. But it's theater. It's drama. It's the NFL hooking us for a little bit. And eventually names will be called. And some of them will be right. Ooh. Most of them will be wrong. Most of them will be wrong. History tells you most of them will be wrong. But just when you understand what the draft is, it helps you enjoy the experience that much better. And when the draft is over next week, Chase and I will be back to wrap up what we thought we saw and the things that we like. But again, it's all going to be an educated guess. Tip of the cap to you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.